Let's go to principle number 6 and the principle of complete in Him. Now, we think about this study. We're talking about principles for spiritual growth. And as I thought about that again today, I was even thinking about, I made a little note here, additional notes in my notes, that really another title that we could make for this study is knowing Him more deeply and more completely. Because these principles for spiritual growth, that's what this is all about. It's knowing Him more deeply and more completely. And so go with me to Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, as we get into this one, the principle of complete in Him. Now, last time we talked about Adam being made in the image of God, and I shared with you several different examples of how we're made in the image of God. We're a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, they're a Trinity. God's a creator God. The ability we have to create is because we're made in the image of God. And so we could say that we were made in the image of God as well. But a better way, a more biblically accurate way to say is we're actually made in the image of Adam. Look at Genesis chapter 5. Actually, I think it's, yes, Genesis 5:3. It says, "And Adam lived 130 years, if you can imagine such a thing, and begot a son, notice, in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth." And so even though we're made in the image of God in the sense of having some of the same attributes and abilities that Adam had, actually it would be better, more accurate to say that we're made in the image of Adam with his likeness and his problems. And so we want to see this. Notice, first of all, where we came from. And as you complete that, as you get blank filled in there, flip to the back of your study guide. Would you flip all the way to the back side of that? And what I want us to do on this particular portion of this, I want us to simply trace down the left-hand side, the Adam column. If you look at this, there's actually three columns here, the one on the left, one in the middle, and one on the right. So right now, I want us to just trace down the left-hand side. I want to give you some information. We're just going to kind of fill this in rather quickly. And let's go down the way here. We want to see how it is that we receive our source. The important thing here is the result of the source. And as lost people being made in the image of Adam, we have Adam as our source of life. Do we see that? That we all go all the way back to him. First thing I want you to see there is that we are in Adam. That we're in Adam. So there you go. One more time there, guys. Good. Thank you. So we're in Adam. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I'll give you some verses there. We're not going to take the time to look up all these, but I've given them for you so you can look up as you want to. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, "In Adam is the idea." And the full verse there, "In Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made alive." So the fact is, as lost people, we were born in Adam. Next, I want you to see there is the word flawed. Now you see that in the center, our source. So what I'm saying there is our source from the get-go was flawed. We're going to document that as we go on down through this. Next thing is we were born of Adam. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 7, "Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again." The reason why I need to be born again is because first time we were born in Adam, flawed with his sin nature, the death that was put upon him as a result of his disobedience and his sin. So our source here is flawed. We're born in Adam. And all die is the next line here. All die. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Once again, in Adam, all die. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:22. The next line is sin nature. Romans 5:12 tells us, "Wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And so we receive a sin nature from Adam, our flawed earthly father. The reason why we sin is because our parents sinned, and their parents sinned all the way back to, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world." Let's go on here. Old man is the next line there. Colossians 3:9-10. Talks about our old man, that it is our old man from Adam that causes us to lie. I know you all would never lie, but that would cause us to lie, to cheat, to steal, to do all kinds of bad things. It's because we have a flawed earthly father and because we are from him as our source. The next thing here is in the flesh, in the flesh. Romans 8:8-9 tells us that as a result of being in Adam, As lost people, we are in the flesh. It also tells us there in that Romans passage that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's not a good place to be. The next thing we see here is the works of the flesh. Galatians 5, 16 to 21 actually is the part that talks about the works of the flesh. And if you would, go with me to that passage. Galatians chapter 5. Now these are not new words for us. These are probably very familiar, but I want us to see them because we're going to contrast them here a minute. And so you can just keep your Bible open to Galatians 5 and as we trace down through the other side here a little bit. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Galatians chapter 5 and beginning at verse 19. Let's notice there. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." Clearly seems the idea. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like." He just kind of throws "and the like" in there, just kind of like other things like that. "Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." These are the works of the flesh. These are the manifestations of a lost person. Now what Paul is saying here, he's not saying that any one of us has all these things going against us. But if you read down through that list and read it slower and I just read it, you'll find yourself in there somewhere, or at least who you used to be. And these are the manifestations then of the flesh. Let's move on here. Wrapping up here, old ancestry. As a result of us being in Adam, we have an old ancestry that dates all the way back to him, thousands and thousands of years, dates all the way back to him. And as a result, we have an old source. And so Adam is the source, and that's the reason why, before we give our lives to Christ, that's why we have all this difficulty, because of all these things. Now, if you look at point two there, back on the inside right of your study guide there, under principle number six, completing him, where we are now is point two, where we are now. So we're contrasting where we were as lost people as to where we are now. Let's go back now to the back side of our paper. Now we're going to fill in the blanks on the right-hand side, and we're going to see the contrast here. We were in Adam, now we are what? In Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:22, "In Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made alive." Our source here is what? It's perfect. Before, it was flawed. Adam was our source. We drew our source of life from him. But now things are changed. Now we have a new source, and our source is the Lord, and he's perfect. Born again is the next point here. Just as Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And it's because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. So we must have a new life in Christ. Next one, all made alive. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:22, "In Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made alive." We have a whole new source, a whole new line that's perfect, and we're alive in Christ. Next, we have a divine nature, not a sin nature, a divine nature. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:4 that we now have a new nature called the divine nature. That comes right out of the Bible. And rather than having an old man, we now have a new man. Romans tells us that the old man was crucified with Christ. And as a result, we are no longer slaves to sin. Now let's be clear, we're still going to mess up. We're going to hit a foul ball spiritually every now and then. But we don't have to sin. As lost people, it was a foregone conclusion that we had a flawed source. We were dead spiritually. There wasn't any option for us but to sin. But now, we don't have to. We're going to. We're still, we have feet of clay. We still succumb to temptation. But we don't have to, because we can walk in the Spirit. And rather than being in the, we got an old man, new man, in the flesh, now we are what? In the Spirit. Let's go back to our passage here. In fact, let's go ahead and get another one in here. Notice next one, not the works of the flesh, but now we're able to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Notice what we have here in Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. And we're going to contrast here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Nine things here that are called the fruit of the Spirit. Now, just so we're on the same page saying all this correctly, we never refer to these as the fruits of the Spirit. Sounds funny, doesn't it? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Even though it's nine things, you think, well, nine things are plural. But it's the manifestation. It's the outgrowth of living the Spirit-filled life. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And when you have a problem in one of these areas, now that you're a Christian, you have a problem in one of these nine areas, what's that an indication of? You've lost your salvation, right? No. You're not walking in the Spirit in that area. Someone says, well, I just don't have patience. And their friend says, well, pray for patience. Don't pray for patience. We claim patience as a fruit of the Spirit. It's called long-suffering. So we claim that, and we say, when we're weak in that area, or any of those areas, it's an indication that at that moment, we're not walking the Spirit-filled life. So that should be just like a little alarm going off on the inside. Ding, ding, ding. And you need to get, Lord, I'm not walking with you like I should be walking with you, and I want to get that right. And just so have a conversation with you. New ancestry. And then, of course, we have a new source. Now, if you would, now that you've got all those blanks filled in, just look at that. Take a moment and just kind of scan over that list. And I want you to see the remarkable contrast between the left side and the right side. Cool. And here's this makes it even better, Bob. Once we're in the right-hand side, we never go back. In Adam, all die. In Christ, that's where you are now. All shall be made alive. You're not dead in Christ. You're not dead in Adam. You're alive in Christ. Let's move on here. Go back now to the front, or to the front and right-hand side. Whom we pursue. It would be nice if the Christian life was as easy to live as the natural life, wouldn't it? The natural life, it just flows out. Sin just flows. It just, you know, whatever. Wouldn't it be neat if the Christian life was that easy? It just doesn't quite work that way. And so we pursue Him. Now, I really regret that when we ended last week, we ran out of time. And so I want to reincorporate. I want to bring back into our picture here the things we just had to skate over last Sunday night. And so they're right back here in your notes. So if you got frustrated with me last Sunday night, I appreciate your forgiveness and coming on back. We're gonna dig into those and spend a little more time than we had time for last week. Letter A here is seeking Him. I think last Sunday night I had looking unto Him, looking unto Jesus. So here, as we pursue Christ, we are seeking Him. He's our focus. He's our goal. He's the finish line. He's the source. He's the source of life. And He's the one that continues to feed us and continues to supply us with spiritual truth. And here is an important point here. Even though this transition from being in Adam to in Christ is instantaneous, it happened the moment you gave your life to Christ. There are about 36 things that happened to you the moment you were saved. You didn't know all those things that happened, but they happened. And even though the change is instantaneous, the growth, the apprehension of these truths will take time. And that was principle number two. And time takes time. Quantity time, quality time, investment of time, all those kinds of things. In your book, there's a quote here by J.B. Stoney. And the author shares with us, spiritual growth is like rungs of a ladder. You remember that? If you read the book this week, he speaks of our spiritual growth as like rungs in a ladder. Let me go through these quickly with you. Step number one is, we learn that, this is now on the screen, we learn that Jesus was sent from God. If you don't want to write this down, it's on the podcast. You get it. We learn that Jesus was sent from God. The second thing is we see our lost condition and we're saved. Now, for some of us, that took 8 or 9 years. For some of us, it took 26 years. Some of us took 35, 40, 50 years to just for those two steps. We understand that Jesus was sent from God and we see our lost condition and we are saved. Rung number three, or step number three, we begin the process of knowing Him. We begin the process of knowing Him. Number four, we learn of His ascension into heaven. I hope that you are taken back and just mesmerized with that whole scene. Imagine when Jesus was there with the disciples after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, and all of a sudden He just goes up in the sky. Wouldn't that be cool to be there to see that? And we learn of our ascension, or learn of His ascension into heaven. And then we run into that passage that says that we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That's a step number, or well, number five is we see ourselves in Him. So number four is we learn of His ascension into heaven. Number five is we see ourselves in Him. Number six, we see ourselves seated in Christ. And what is His is ours because we are accepted in Him. And number seven, we grow in knowledge of Him throughout our Christian life. Now that is exactly the way J.B. Stoney has it there, but that's kind of my tweaking that a little bit just to help us kind of see that. Read that in the book if you want to. Letter B here. Along the way in this Christian life, we are to be avoiding distractions. Avoiding distractions. A couple of verses I want us to look at here, rather than me just quoting them to you. Colossians 2:8. You're pretty close to Colossians there if you're still open at Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8. Here, the idea here is avoiding distractions. Notice what Paul said here to the believers in Colossae. Colossians 2:8, beware. Be on guard. Attention. The idea there. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Beware. Be on guard. Be watchful for those distractions that might keep you from pressing on in the Christian life. Another verse, 2 Peter 3:17. Go with me. Go toward the book of Revelation and stop before you get there, long before you get there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. After James, you have 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 17. Notice what the Apostle Peter has for us. 2 Peter 3:17, almost to the end of the letter. You therefore, beloved, talking to Christians, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall for your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So the idea there is beware, be on guard for distractions. Jesus referred to distractions many different ways. He referred to them as the world, the flesh, the devil, the cares of this age, the deceitfulness of riches. A lot of different ways He referred to the distractions that could come our way. And letter C here is conforming to His image. All along the way, Romans 8, 28 and 29, we've read it already. The purpose, the goal the Lord has for us is to be conformed in the image of Jesus Christ. Now notice the listing I have you. We're not going to take time to look up all those verses because our time is spent again. But let me just go walk down through these with you as they're there in your study guide. And I think I've given you all the references. Yes. So you have them with you. But let me just share. Notice many ways to say what the Lord is doing in conforming us and transforming us in the image of Christ. One is Christ is our life. Colossians 3, 3 and 4 says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Hallelujah for that. Next one here, He makes us righteous. Romans 5, 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. He makes us righteous. He declares us righteous. That's what justification means, to be declared righteous. Our relationship with Him is new. Blake had us read this morning. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Your relationship is brand new. You're no longer over here in this Adam side. You're over here in this in Christ side. He is our hope. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. It's a package deal, and He is our hope. The change takes time. We've documented that. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. One more here. The outcome is more than we can take in. The outcome is more than we can take in. 1 John 3:2. Did I put that on there? Beloved, now we are children of God. Now. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Powerful, powerful truth. All right, next week, Principles 7 and 8, Appropriation and Identification. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I want to thank You again so much for the truths in Your Word. And Father, I could only ask, beg, and beseech the Holy Spirit to bore these truths deep in our heart. They're not just information, they are illumination, inspiration to our spirit. Bless us, Father, as we leave here. Give us safety as we go. May we all arrive home safely. Give us a good night of rest. I pray, God, You would just rest us tonight and prepare us for tomorrow. We might live tomorrow for You. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.